Welcome to the How to Get Into Investment Banking podcast. The big question is, how do you get into investment banking if you go to a non-target school with no on-campus recruiting? That is a question, and this is the podcast that will give you the answers. My name is Sajan Doshi, and I'm your host. Welcome to today's episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking.
Hey guys, Sajan here. Gonna jump into episode 6. If you guys remember, I cut episode 5, or what was episode 5, into two pieces because it was just running a bit too long. On this back half, or the second part of episode 5, or what's now in episode 6, I'm gonna be going through in detail the steps that we took with the student that I was working with in regards to the steps that they took in executing their PPD on their journey to banking. But what's most important for you and how it pertains to your journey is understanding, hey, why you need to do this right now if you want to get into banking, and how you can look at this student's journey as a proxy and apply it to your own steps you can take. That you could take. So definitely make sure you pay attention to this episode, because what's going to be really important to take away from this is to be like, all right, hey, given what I'm interested in, given what my long-term career goals are, what are the short-term goals that I need to execute on, and what are the processes that I need to put into place to actually go and get them? And the without having this stuff in place, you're going to be a chicken with its head cut off. You're not going to have any purpose, and you're just going to be flying blind, and we don't want that because we want to make sure you get a job in banking. So anyway, guys, episode 6 is going to be starting. Chances are you could have learned that stuff on your own. You could have taken those elective classes your senior year when you have an offer locked up, whatever the case is. The other reality is you have students trying to take six to eight classes. And do co-ops and stuff during the year. That makes no sense, right? Even if you sleep 6 hours a day, you're, you know, between commuting, walking around, eating lunch, that's another 2 hours, working out, maybe another hour, classes, that's another 4 or 5 hours. That leaves what time, right? You add in like a buffer of 2 hours of whatever, you know, how do you have time to do shit if you're taking 6-8 classes? It makes zero sense, right? So, that is why you need to spread out classes, take easy classes too, easy electives, leave your hard classes for later. And again, don't hate me. This is the game of recruiting. Don't hate me. Like, I didn't create these rules. So, pivoting from that, the third point, and this is kind of like bullet points 3 and 4, I'll combine these right here, is campus involvement and kind of building up that body of work. Do whatever you need to do. Right. And in this particular student's case, I was like, okay, you have no campus involvement at all. You have no case studies you've gone to. You've done no competitions, no clubs, nothing. Right. And trust me, even if you go to accounting college, there are things that you can do, especially when you get to university. And I see this very prevalent in freshmen and sophomores. They always complain about not having things to do. Why don't you have time for things to do, right? You're taking prereqs for a double major that you don't need to do. You're wasting time taking hard-ass electives that you don't need to do. And all this is just you spending time on shit you don't need to do. So what do you need to do? Drop that double major, spread out your classes, take easy electives, get more time on your calendar, and spend that time wisely. Either you find something, whether it's case studies, competitions, club involvement, working for free, whatever the case is, there's a better use of your time to make you a better, well-positioned candidate to get into investment banking. Because guess what? Your competition out there, they're grinding tooth and nail to become well-rounded and refined candidates, okay? So with that being said, and I'm going to repeat this again and again until it's understood, that perception is everything, period. Perception is everything, right? So I already spoke about, you know, hey, find something on campus, whether you think you can get to the leadership position by your junior or senior year, where somewhere you could actually add value. Maybe you're good with like editing videos or doing stuff on Canva. So you could, whatever it is, go to the best, most prominent finance club or whatever club you're interested in. Like, hey, this is what I'm good at. This is how I can add value, right? For me, I was very good at networking. I loved traveling to the city. I didn't care. I didn't care if I had to take the path, NJ Transit. I didn't care if I had to walk on the goddamn turnpike. I didn't care if I had to swim over the, you know, walk through the Holland Tunnel. Like, I loved going, meeting with alumni, talking about Rutgers, telling them to come talk to students and be like, look, like, you know, I know I could come out to the city, but not everyone can do that. We'd love for you to come talk at Rutgers. We'll pay for your car. We'll buy you dinner, whatever. And the car will take you back to your office. Like, whatever you want, we would really, really love that. And so again, what is it that you're good at? Figure out how you can give back to that club and start doing it, right? So for this particular student, it was like, hey, there are a host of case studies that the semi-target does. Get those, start doing those. And what does that allow you to do? You meet other students, right? And as you meet other students, you kind of learn more and more about, hey, how does recruiting work? Hey, what are the better clubs? Who are the smarter students? Who are the students who have front office jobs? Who are the helpful alumni? And again, you start ingratiating yourself into that environment, right? Into that ecosystem. And then you kind of start slowly working your way up. That's how it works in life, wherever you go, right? Your school, Rutgers for me, was like one ecosystem. And then how you play and maneuver in that ecosystem and those rules, that's just a proxy for how everything else works in the world too, right? Of like, hey, how do I maneuver and act in other places, right? So don't forget that, right? And here's the thing. I know everyone's going to be like, hey, Sajan, we're in a pandemic, this and that. But guess what? Even in a pandemic, clubs are still meeting via Zoom and recruiting, and it's more effort. But again, it's a long-term play, and you have to actually work hard to get involved. I'm not talking some Gary Vee stuff here of like, oh, you got to grind and sell fucking sneakers and fucking flip water and air. No, it's just you have to put in time and effort. I think that's a better way to say is that you need to put in effort and time, if you want to get involved and get somewhere, right? So now, this last thing, this last point is really, 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 I could say really a few more times if I want to, but really important is that do whatever you can to find anything in the realm of relevant finance experience, right? And this is something that students overlook, and I was guilty of it, but I didn't care because I didn't let my pride get in the way. But there are a lot of students who overlook certain finance internships, right? Local internships because of brand, prestige, title, or a combination of the above, right? But most of these reasons are fallacies, if we're being honest, right? And this is something that I will cover in another video because it's such an important topic. But what does this mean for us, right? What does this mean for you in terms of, hey, Sajan, what do you mean overlook? So what I mean is that wealth management is still a thing. It is still a very valuable experience. And yes, I understand that students are now here. There are only so many regional sell side boutiques. And yes, reach out to them. But remember, they're not always there. They're not always going to be in your city. Commute, time, money, and location are factors because not everyone lives like in a big metro area. And remember, even in a pandemic, interns are needed to make cold calls, clean up Excel files, organize data, do grunt work. And there are so many small companies that exist that no one bothers to reach out to them, right? Whether it's an accounts payable, accounts receivable role, to do QuickBooks work or basic finance stuff of just like, hey, doing ad hoc analysis, like we need interns to support our analysts, whatever. And people look down on this, right? There are so many owner, founder-led, companies out there that people don't think about this is that, hey, you might go work at this local tax and accounting advisory firm and audit advisory firm, but not realize that, hey, these people have real clients, right? This firm has a real client base, and these founders themselves probably know buy-side investors, sell-side bankers, and that's how you start to slowly build your network, right? But the problem is that everyone's just busy trying to email David Solomon or something. It's like, what are you doing? Like, seriously, like, why are you emailing David Solomon? Like, what is that going to get you? Like, David Solomon does not have time to respond to you. And I'm sorry, and I'm not, look, I know and first of all, I can't preach you're only one cold email away and then tell you not to email these big MDs, but you have to realize is that you have to look where no one is looking, right? You got to take that side door, and this is a great side door because everyone knows someone, right? And if you can get in, provide value, great example, when I worked at this metal trading firm here in East Brunswick, New Jersey, that owner, he used to be a programmer, an algorithmic trader at a bulge bracket firm. And he knew I wanted to get into banking. Now he wasn't in banking himself, but all of his boys were either at Quant Funds, which again, I'm not smart enough to work there, but his friends worked at Quant Funds. his friends went to business school and master's programs with other guys who worked in banking and are now working in hedge funds or PE or VC. So it's like, hey, Sajan, look, when I worked at, you know, this bulge bracket, I wasn't directly in banking, but I knew a lot of guys, just whether they were in my cohort from when he went to grad school or what people from his cohort when they went to quant funds or whatever. They knew people who also worked in banking or in the buy side, and I wasn't able to leverage those relationships, right? So again, people don't think like this, and that's why it's so important to have an open mind, because you never know who knows who, right? And that's why I say, what, you're one cold email away, because that person you're talking to, they might be doing something tangential, but you're forgetting that you don't need to be in banking to know someone in banking, right? There are a lot of people who aren't in banking but know a ton of bankers, right? So it's a great example that I always give of my, that was my second internship. That was my third internship when I was ending my sophomore year at Middlesex before I went to Rutgers in the fall. That was my third internship. Yeah, it was actually 10 years ago this past summer. It was summer 2011. So really, really fun story about that. But again, they're going to know someone, and don't look down at these, right? And there is a plethora of local advisory firms that you could reach out to. And I'll go over this in another episode of like, hey, how to kind of have like a pitch deck ready. It's like a zip file with like maybe a case study that you do on a company. And I provide all this in my USB. So you could even use my template and make a case study on some company, make it in a PowerPoint, save it as a PDF, you know, use the Excel model and be like, hey, look, this is my PowerPoint. So I know how to use PowerPoint. I know how to write. I know how to make nice presentations. Here's an Excel model with some analyses, some valuations. So I know my way around Excel. Would love to work for free, help out. However you guys need help, let me know. You email 100 firms, someone will follow up. I'm like, hey, definitely could need help organizing data, just cleaning up decks, whatever. Like, someone will reach out to you, right? So something that I'm not going to get to. Before I get to that, regional accounting firms. I feel like someone's going to take this clip and meme it up and be like, oh, Sajan thinks the answer to getting into banking is to cold email regional accounting firms. Well, to that, I tell you to fuck yourself. And the reason I say that is because not everyone has the privilege and the ability to be on the East Coast corridor like I am, right? Or in these large areas, right? So if you truly are at like Bumblefuck University in the middle of fucking nowhere and you have nothing on your resume, you need something to get on there. You need some sort of professional service. You need something on your resume. So then when you start emailing and networking with people, at least they're like, all right, cool. This person, you know, whatever, is intern at this advisory firm doing valuation work or accounting work. And cool, he's obviously, he or she's trying to get into banking. And it shows initiative, like, hey, I couldn't do banking because there's nothing in my area, but I did something to improve my skill set in finance, accounting, whatever. So that's that. I'm not going to get into, at least in this episode, about what I worked on this student about building their list and drafting emails. And I have like 10 hours of content on this. Like, literally, I have like 10 videos queued up that are that'll drop in the next few weeks. But I go through detail of like how to build your list, how to find folks, reach out to them. And that's really, really important stuff. But the last thing I want to get to is discipline. And I'm going to circle this here. And I know it's like, what I mean by it, so I'm going to tell you what I mean by discipline. And again, the reason working with someone one-on-one is so important is because you need dedicated check-ins, right? Of like, hey, we're going to meet one-on-one. We're going to go through every open item and we're going to literally go through everything of like, hey, how many emails did we send out this week? How many people responded to you, didn't respond to you? How many one-on-ones did you schedule? Were there more firms or different roles that we came across that you need to apply to, right? And then more importantly is that, you know, people think that you just have to prepare for interviews, but you also have to prepare for your reaching out initiative, right? And what that means quite simply is that, hey, you need to take the time and spend the time to prepare for these one-on-ones, right? Of, hey, what's your story? What's your why? Why do you want to work in banking? Hey, cool. Let's pivot to some quick technicals. All right, let's do a quick paper LBO. We have X amount of EBITDA. This is our entry multiple. We have debt at this interest amount. These are the exit assumptions. You know, what's the money on, you know, what's the cash on cash, you know, or the like, cash on cash or your, you know, your, Jesus Christ, your MOIC, right? Your money's on invested capital, right? I was freezing up because there's like people say different things. Some people say your money, you know, MOM. Some people say MOIC, money on invested capital, or some people say cash on cash, which is just the pure capital on capital. And what's your IRR? And there are quick mental ways to back into that too. Again, you need to kind of have this stuff compartmentalized, ready to go. Behavioral, technical, you need all that nice and bundled up, right? So yes, even in one-on-ones, this will happen, right? So these are the things that, when I say discipline, right? So we went through, just to recap a little bit, purpose of like, hey, what is it you want to do long-term? What can you do in the short term to get there? And that transitions you. So you know what your purpose is, right? Kind of like why long-term, and then what do you need to do in the short term? Now that what you need to do in the short term is your process, right? And then the process is having the wherewithal to understand, hey, what do I need to do to achieve these short-term steps, right? Okay, hey, I need a good GPA. So what do I need to do? Hey, let me drop some hard classes. Let me spread them out. Okay, I need to improve my body of work. Let me, you know, case studies, clubs, you know, work. This is WFF, not work from home, but work for free. And then it's this discipline part, right? How do you maintain that discipline that, hey, am I doing the process to achieve my purpose, right? And that's why, you know, the discipline, I'll just use this this student as an example. Hey, what's the discipline, right? Discipline is simple, right? Hey, we're going to send out, hey, we're going to try to find, you know, 20 people to email each week. We're going to send 20 emails a week, whether that's new emails or follow-ups. We're going to spend X amount of time reading technical stuff. We're going to spend X amount of time working on technical questions. And then we're going to spend X amount of time just working on practicing for your informational interviews or for your one-on-ones, right? And then that's that discipline that you have. Hey, what are the hard stops? Like, hey, I'm going to spend X amount of time each week on emails, on practicing my one-on-ones, practicing my behaviorals and technicals. And that's what that discipline is, right? It's right here, guys. Keep the structure, you know, and in your calendar as simple, clean as possible. So it's easy to follow. And you can really, really hold yourself accountable, right? So, you know, that's the biggest thing when it comes down to discipline, is that have kind of your gating items. It's like having stop losses, it kind of in a sense, right? Is that like, hey, I know that I want to do X, Y, and Z. And how do I ensure that I do it? Is that, hey, each day kind of have that daily check-in right now, whether that's with me or with yourself. That's why you have that calendar in place. You have those reminders in place. And you do that. Hey, did I send my emails? Did I review these accounting questions? Did I practice my one-on-one, you know, conversations, right? Did I practice my story, my why? And I know this sounds like a lot, but you have to understand your competition is so talented. There's so many talented students out there. And they will kick your ass if you're not prepared. You will get fucking the floor mopped with you if you're not prepared. So if it seems daunting, know that it is. But this is why I'm giving you the tools. It's like, all right, hey, Sajan, this seems a lot. I'm overwhelmed. Well, hey, how do you handle that? You handle that with PPD. What's your purpose? Cool. Now that you know your purpose, what's the process you need to put in place to achieve your purpose? Okay, well, I know my purpose. I know the process. And now I just need to make sure I stick with that process. Now, how do I stick with that process? Hey, have structured discipline in place. What does that mean? Changes person to person, depending on what your short-term purpose is. But for the most part, for most of you students, it's going to be, hey, let me get smarter in my niche. Let me read about deals happening. Let me read about companies and sectors and industries that I'm in. And let me build my domain knowledge. Let me try to find companies in the space, entrepreneurs in the space, people working in the space, people in the ecosystem. Again, buy side, sell side, whatever the case is. Who are the folks that play in this ecosystem? Let me make sure I'm reaching out to the right number of people enough. Am I spending enough time on my technical development? So this is all stuff that people who are successful and get into the industry and students that I work with do. But a lot of students don't do this stuff. And that is why I'm making this podcast and breaking this all down for you guys. So you can do this on your own, right? This is really, really, you can do this on your own. So I want to wrap up here, guys. We're a little bit over. I don't know how long I've been going for, actually, but I want to wrap up right now. But the homework for me for next week, guys, I really want you to be like, hey, come up with your PPD, right? And comment below or next week's episode or shoot me an email, whatever. Tweet at me. Want to know what your PPD is. And then again, whatever questions, anything, leave a comment below. I'm going to try to get back to everyone. And then obviously subscribe, you know, to make sure you guys get these videos, you know, when they come out. But also, if there's anyone out there that you think would enjoy it, and, you know, if you like this, watching this as much as I like making it for you guys, you know, please, please do share this video with them. I feel like there's so many students who could, just even from hearing one of these episodes, you know, I feel like a lot of students out there, if they hear this, it'll be, you know, maybe the light switch will go off and it'll help them. And look, it was a lot. Don't fret. Download the PDF attachment, review the slides, and go back and listen again if there's anything that's confusing. Go back and listen to what I had this student do, and think about what steps you can do. And again, like I said, what I expect the following week is like, have your PPD figured out. We spent a lot of time on this, and it's important to tackle this early on and get it out of the way, because it will serve as a compass, your guiding north, and it is needed. So spend time on it now, you know, sow this, you know, plant the seeds now, and you will see the benefits. You will see the fruits of your labor in due time. So please, please do not overlook this. You know, it's really important. And yeah, guys, with that, excuse me, with that being said, that is wow. This was a 45 minute episode. Oh my God. Just funny. I thought it was like 20 minutes. Here I am talking for 45 minutes. But anyway, guys, I'm going to stop this. I will see you guys on the next episode. Take care.